Well, man, it is great to see you all. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving good. Yeah. You guys are looking pretty good. I was expecting a lot more of the, the Thanksgiving food coma look among all of you. Anybody got the pumpkin pie hangover thing going this morning? Yeah. Anybody did the straight shots out of the whipped cream can? Yeah. I taught my grandson how to eat whipped cream straight out of the can this year, man. So it was a blast. Yeah. So I did my job. Any Black Friday shoppers? Any of you crazy people out there? Yeah. Well, one of the greatest ways that we can demonstrate our thankfulness to a Heavenly Father who has blessed us so much and all that He's, and thanks for all that He's done for us, one of the greatest things that we can ever do is to tell somebody else about all that He has done for us and all that He wants to do for them. So today, while we continue to be thankful and we continue to walk alongside people who have lost a lot in our community, we come alongside of all of them and we realize that there's incredible hope. And like we've been saying, if things in your life, if you're close to people, I know I was chatting with Pat Sasala, whose family lost everything in the Paradise fires up north. And, you know, if we can come alongside of you this morning, we want to do that. We've asked some of our leaders and elders to be in the back. And if you just need prayer, we want to be there to pray and walk alongside you through all of this. Because you never know when something might just kind of hit you. And especially through this series, it's pretty timely that we're talking about how we share hope, how we share faith with others, because at these times of crisis is when people's lives are just open, they're asking questions, they're wondering why, they're wondering how, and it gives us these great opportunities. And then sliding into the Christmas season, I mean, today's the 25th, we got 1 month till Christmas, can you believe that, it came so quickly? But this is a great time when people are open to being invited to participate in things where we talk about faith. And so today, though, we're going to wrap up our series that we've called Go Fish. It's a series that we've been talking about sharing our faith with other people. And we've learned that when Jesus calls people to follow Him, He also calls those people not just to follow Him, but if we follow Him, He's going to do something in our life. He's going to make us fishers of men. And He did that with His first followers. He said, come and follow me, and if you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And He's calling followers to do that same thing today, to join in that same search and rescue mission with Him this morning. And while most of us would admit that sharing our faith is important, I mean, how many of you would say, yeah, we know that's important, that we're supposed to do that? Yeah, all the statistics say, yeah, we give a healthy nod to that. But then when we hear this idea, we know it doesn't come easy, and when we hear all about it, many of us start getting a little nervous, right? We start to stutter a little bit. We start thinking, wait a minute, you know, I'm not sure. I don't have this gift. I mean, for many of us, sharing our faith is right up there with something like, you know, I'm thinking like a colonoscopy or something, right? You know you need to, but you're not sure you want to, right? It's just uncomfortable, right? I mean, I'm a pastor, like I said last week, I'm a paid professional, you know, prayer. But even then, when I get into situations of sharing my faith, I got to tell you, I still find myself in these places where I get nervous. I start to sweat sometimes, and then there's these times when God is putting it on my heart, come on, Ken, say something, and I'm still, like, even though it's like, yeah, I'm, you know, and sometimes in my head I'm going like, dude, you're the pastor, you should know how to do this, right? And I'm still like, oh, man, like, it's still a struggle sometimes because we struggle with not wanting to feel rejected. Maybe we struggle a lot with sharing our faith because when you think of sharing our faith, you think of people like these two guys on the video.
Tip number 95, use big church words like transubstantiation. Heathens get confused easily, and the more confused they are, the more ashamed they are. The more ashamed they are, the more apt they are to make a decision for Jesus Christ.
I believe it's a responsibility, no. The privilege, no. The glorious privilege of every believer to share their faith with others. That's why I share my faith with everyone I come in contact with.
Everyone, really?
Yeah, everyone.
How do you do that?
Check out my shirt. Can't read it? Try this glove. Not working for you? How about this bracelet? No comprendo? Vistazo a estos. Driving behind me? Read my bumper sticker. Says, it's okay if you follow close. I'm going to heaven. Oh, you're my waiter or waitress? I got a tip for you. Surprise! It's the gospel. I mean, what do you want, money or eternity? I also use these tracks.
So, what about talking to people about your faith?
I don't really like people, but I love Jesus. Scripture mint?
See, I think when it comes to sharing our faith, a lot of us have these misconceptions about what we're supposed to do. And we get hesitant. I mean, and we get nervous. And we think that mainly I think it's because of fear in our lives. We're afraid that people will reject us or reject the message. We think that we're not good enough to share the message. And the reality is, even Jesus says that might happen. You know, he says, hey, the world hated me, and if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they're going to reject me, they're going to reject you. And so there is always that possibility that they might reject the message, and they might just think you're a little bit crazy. I mean, sometimes we're so worried, and as I'm talking to people, they say, I'm not sure what to say. I don't feel like I have all the right answers. And here's the thing this morning that I hope that you understand is this. You don't have to have all the right answers to every question that somebody might ask you. I mean, you don't have to know if Adam and Eve had a belly button, okay? You don't have to know where their sons found wives. You don't know how, you know, which Old Testament prophet lines up with which Old Testament king. You don't have to know where the Ark of the Covenant is today, okay? You don't have to worry about being premillennialist, amillennialist, postmillennialist, or promillennialist, or whatever else. You don't have to know what color all of the horses in the book of Revelation represent. You don't have to know who the Whore of Babylon is. Yeah, that's really in there. You don't have to have the answer for every one of the questions. I mean, those things make for interesting conversation, but honestly, people don't have to know all that stuff to walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And folks, I think we've complicated this. And I think the devil uses that complication to cause us to hesitate. Because fishing isn't complicated, folks. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, I remember going with my dad. And literally, all we did is we went to the lake. We put a worm on the hook. We threw the hook in the water. And guess what? Boom, there's a fish, right? Fishing isn't as complicated as we make it out to be. But somehow, we've really, really kind of messed this up, and we think that we have to have all this information. So we want to take a look. Last week, we started in this passage in Colossians chapter 4. And today's kind of our kind of like where the rubber meets the road kind of message. I mean, we've been talking about the theories, and, you know, Jesus told them to fish, and, you know, we need to pray about it. Today, we're going to talk about how do we actually do this? What do we do, and how do we say this? And we started last week in Colossians chapter 4. Starting in verse 2, and it says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that we may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody, okay? And so last week we looked at verses 2 and 3. This week we're going to start with in verse 4. And in verse 4 starts out the same way that verse 2 did. The first word is pray. Pray. I mean, now, how many of you that were here with us last week, did your homework, and you came up with three names that you're praying for? Did some of you guys do that? If not, then I would say this. If not, your assignment this week, before you do anything else, before you leave this place, you know, it is come up with three names of people that you are praying for that you know need to have a relationship with Christ. Prayer is so foundational, and we talked about that last week. If you missed it, you can go listen to the podcast. But we want to make sure that we're praying, obviously, for people. And he starts out again. He says, pray, pray, pray. And then he goes on, and you got to understand, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He wrote about half of our New Testament. He's asking for prayer support, and we need prayer support as well. And the first thing you notice here, Paul doesn't, you know, ask them to pray that he'll be a good person, that he's going to live his life, you know, correctly or anything like that. That's kind of assumed in the whole thing. What he's praying for is this. He says, pray that I might proclaim it clearly. Pray that I might proclaim it. I mean, that word proclaim it, it basically means this. And if you're taking notes, you can fill it out. Proclaim it, or you might just write in, say it. Just say it, right? Well, my wife, Brenda, is a preschool director. And so she's around preschoolers all the time. And one of the things that is always hilarious, because I'll walk around, you know, I'll go visit her sometimes. She's talking to kids. And you know, little boys, they like to throw things. They like to make lots of noises. They like to hit each other, right, or hit everybody around them. And I'm forever, the one phrase that I hear my wife saying more than anything else, you know, one little boy, he gets a little frustrated because the other boy took his toy. He doesn't know what to say. So what's he do? He hits the other kid. And my wife looks at him and says, now, Johnny, use your words, right? Use your words. And then, you know, you've got, you know, somebody who's a little emotional. One of these little ones is just crying. And she's just, hey, you know, use your words. Tell us what's happening. Tell us what's going on inside you. And I think that God would say the same thing to us. He's like, should we live our faith? Absolutely. But we need to use our words. There's this famous statement by Francis of Assisi that goes like this. He basically says, share the gospel always. When necessary, use words. How many of you heard that before? Right? Share the gospel also always. Whenever necessary, use words. And we always would read that you know, it's not a passage, this quote from this, you know, great Christian saint. And we would tend to think, okay, well, all I got to do is live a good life. You know, I just got to live it out. I just have to make sure that I'm living right. Yeah? But what I think has happened is some of us listen to this so much that all of a sudden say, well, all I got to do is be a good person. All I have to be is a nice neighbor. And are those things true? Absolutely, you should be. You should be getting to know your neighbor. You should be finding what needs your neighbors have. You should be helping meet your neighbor's needs and all those things. But the reality is this. It says, when necessary, use words. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's necessary. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, the people around us, they need to actually hear us use the words of the message of Jesus Christ. Living it out is awesome, but I know people who aren't believers who are pretty nice people. They don't have the words of life, though. Folks, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've come to faith in him, you have the words of life that can transform people's lives. In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? Somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to use words. And folks, that's us. That we need to be people who use our words. People don't come to salvation just because I'm nice to them. Okay, I mean, they can be interested in what's going on in my life. They go, hey, what's going on with that guy? You know, why is this person nice to me? Why is this person, you know, such a great person to work with or for or whatever else? Those things are all wonderful. But at the end of the day, the gospel, the message is the power of God to salvation. And somewhere along the way, we have to use our words and we need to proclaim the truth. And I know that for some of us, we're like, well, man, I don't know what to say. Well, we're going to give you that in just a minute, at least a little bit of it, okay? Now, if you go back to the passage, it says, we're not only supposed to proclaim it, but it says we're supposed to proclaim it clearly. Paul says, pray for me that I will proclaim it clearly as I should, okay? And so we're supposed to make it clear. So we're supposed to go out, we're supposed to say it, we're supposed to make it clear. So what does that look like? So this morning what I want to do, if you have your note thing that you get out of the bulletins or something else to write on, grab something to write with, and I want to encourage you, especially for those of you who are like, I'm never exactly sure what I should say or what I should do. I want to give you, because you never know when you might need this, the most simple and clear like presentation of the gospel message this morning. Okay, and I want you to just kind of write it down. I was taking an evangelism class, all right? when I was in seminary, and it was great. And the professor said, though, after we've studied this all semester long, he says, the most important thing that you can do is know how to present the gospel on a napkin at a coffee shop. So if you're just sitting down there with somebody and somebody asks you a question, you could just, on a napkin, you could just write down, you could give it to them and say, here's what the gospel looks like. So I want to kind of give you some of that this morning. Some of you have heard of this before. We call it the bridge illustration. Okay, it's pretty simple. All right, and so I want you to have this. Some of you, you could do this in your sleep already. Some of you have never heard it before, but you know what? If nothing else, when you walk out of the doors today, you're going to have something. You're going to have a tool that you can use. So here's how it goes. It starts off with, all you got to do is draw this picture. Here's God. You just draw, okay, write God down on the one side of your paper, right? And why do we start with God? Well, because everything did. Everything started with him, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That was it. There was God. And he created everything, and he created everything good. And then guess what? He created you. And that's the next part. So you've got God and you've got you. It's pretty easy so far, right? You got God and you've got you. Now, the good news is that God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. That's what he's always desired. Okay? But the bad news is that, you know, or for God so loved the world, right? And the world includes you, right? Includes everybody else in the world. That's the good news. The good news is God created you and that he loves you. But there's some bad news, okay? The bad news is that sin entered the world and it caused a divide between us and God. That's what sin has done in our lives, okay? And it was sin that caused that division. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love this. When I'm sharing this with kids and things like that, I would always ask the kids, I would say, so you know what sin is, right? And I said, yeah, what's sin? And they said, well, it's not doing what mommy and daddy says. And I said, well, that's a good start, right? I said, well, it's not doing what God wants me to do. Yeah, it's disobeying God. Yeah, that's, you know. And then I look at them and I say, hey, have you sinned before? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I've sinned before. I don't ask them what, you know, at that age. But and then afterwards I said, do you think your mom and dad have sinned before? And they kind of look at me like, I'm not sure I should tell you, right? I'm like, it's okay. And they're like, yeah, mom and dad have sinned. I'm like, yeah, because the Bible says everybody has sinned. And I look at them, I go, you think I've sinned, right? And they're kind of like, ooh, I don't know, you're the pastor guy, right? And so I give them the easy out. I'm like, yeah, I've sinned before. In fact, I probably did it today already, you know? And so they're a little bit shocked by that. And I said, you know, and then what the wages of sin is death, right? And that means eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. And that is certainly not what we want. We don't want to be separated from God. In fact, God has created us to have a relationship with him. But sin separates us, right? But the best news of all, okay, the best news of all is that Jesus came and gave his life to bridge the gap between our sin and God. Okay, he fills the gap. Jesus fills the gap so that we can have this relationship with God again. In Romans chapter 6:23, it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Guess what? You don't have to buy it. You don't have to pay. You can't pay for it. You don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. That's the amazing thing. All you have to do is say yes to it. And it says, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all. Okay, once for all of us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to do what? To bring you to God, right? So he bridges this gap. And then all you need to do is trust. Okay, this is important. All you need to do is trust and walk across that bridge, right, that God has put in there where Jesus has filled the gap. Now, what do you do to trust him, right? Well, first you believe in him. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, folks, that doesn't sound super complicated, does it? I mean, that doesn't sound like, you know, you've got to get into, you know, like, the whole like Old Testament stories and, you know, all the prophets. And no, we don't have to get there yet. Are those good things for people to learn? Absolutely. If they already know some of that stuff, they have a foundation. But we don't have to get, it's like, you just don't have to give them the whole deal all at once. We simply need to share what the good news is and help people walk across this chasm, understanding that Jesus has made a way for them. Okay, and basically, I mean, I've had people before, year before last, we were down at the beach and somebody wanted to get baptized while we were having a baptism service down there. I had never talked to them before. They came and said, "Hey man, I'd like to get baptized." And I simply turned to this verse in Romans 10, 9, and 10. And I said, "Well, hey, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Do you want to make him Lord of your life?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you believe that God raised him from the dead?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Then you know what? There's no reason that we shouldn't be doing this right now." Right? Everybody else is like, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor, you got to, you know, take him through like this class as well." No. You know what? We complicate this thing way too much. We simply need to share this truth that guess what? If they want Jesus to be Lord of their life, and they believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and they want him to be Lord, then we need to embrace them and say, guess what? The Bible says, hey, that's all you need to know. The rest of this you can learn. The rest of it we'll learn as we go. In fact, we'll do this together. Okay, we'll walk this walk together. We'll learn to follow Jesus together. But this is all they need, okay? And I think so often we just complicate it. I had one person who simply asked me, you know, after talking about this, they looked at me and said, "Well, man, what'll happen when I die, right?" And I simply said, "Well, you've been to a funeral, right?" I said, "You know what happens when people die, right? Well, you know, they either put a body in a casket or they go and they, you know, you end up in an urn. That's what happens to your earthly body, right? So we know what happens." But the reality is that, and you can dig up a casket, there's bones inside, okay? But many people are trying to figure this out, like what happens after they die? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity in the hearts of people. People are curious, people want to know. And here's the thing I said, look, the reality is we get to live forever, okay? If we've made Jesus Lord of our life, nobody has to spend eternity separated from God because of their sin. There is a cure for that. There is a cure for sin. The reason that people will be separated from God for eternity is because they have not believed in Jesus. And many people who have not believed, and the reason that they haven't believed is because nobody's taken the time to share the message. Nobody's taken the time to use their words and actually say, this is how you come to faith in Christ. And this little bridge illustration, that you can draw that on a napkin for somebody. I want to give you another quick easy one. It's called the evangelism in one verse, right? John 3:16. We see it at baseball games, you know. I mean, I was watching the Rams game the other day and this big huge sign comes up, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So in a nutshell, it's this. God loved, right? God so loved the world, and he loved the world so much that God gave. And if we believe, we receive. What do we receive? Eternal life. It's that easy. You know, folks, again, don't complicate this thing. Just God loved, God gave, he gave his son. If we believe in that, we believe that God raised him from the dead, then we receive. What do we receive? The gift of eternal life. And I have to tell you, the other part that you don't need a lot of work on to share your faith is this, is to share your story. You know, you can take one of these ways to kind of share the message of the gospel and then add your story to it, right? Your story. In Christian language, we call that our testimony, right? And your testimony is really easy. You know why? Because it's yours and you've lived it out. And the testimony is really, really simple. Your story is this. What was life like before you met Jesus, right? And some of you have all kinds of stories about what life was like before you met Jesus, Okay? I mean, you can share, yeah, man, my life was this or that or whatever. My story, man, I used to think my testimony was horrible because I didn't have some, like, crazy story ahead of time, you know? I wasn't a member of the mafia and killed lots of people before I met Jesus, right? And then Jesus, you know, maybe that happened for some of you. I don't know, you know? You never know who's in the room, right? But the reality is somebody, you all have a history before finding Jesus. I mean, I can say, you know what? Before I accepted Jesus, I grew up in the church. And actually, because I grew up in the church, there was a lot of stuff I took for granted. There was a lot of stuff that I thought I knew, and I was simply just doing it because my parents said so. But there came a time in my life when I had to actually really make a decision. You know, when I was in high school, my parents did the craziest thing in the world to me. I moved from Orange County out to Newberry Park in between my freshman and sophomore year of high school. Okay, my life fell apart. Okay, it sounds a little dramatic, but imagine that, right? Moving out here, I left all my friends, all the guys I played sports with, everything else. I was just like, what am I gonna do now, right? And I was like, I was searching and I wanted friends. Well, and the first people I met were the guys on the football team. And the guys on the football team, you know, the guys I was making friends with, they were all saying, hey, come with us after the game on Friday night and let's go do this, right? I had to make some big decisions. And because I wanted to be liked by all my friends, it was like, hey, you could do this. And you know what? The good news is that I met some other friends. I met some other friends that said, you know, we don't have to do all that. We can have some fun. We can do some other things. And we don't have to do those things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And I'm thankful to this day for this church and people around me and some of my friends who said, hey, you know what? There's other ways to do life, right? I didn't have to make a lot of big mistakes. But you know what? But then I had to make a decision. Was I just going to believe the stuff because my parents told me to? Or is this real? And I had to struggle through that. And then the next part of your testimony is, you know, how did you come to faith in Jesus? You know, I mean, like I said, I grew up at church, but the reality was I remember specifically I was at camp one time, and the guy who was sharing the message just said, you know, do you just believe this because your parents told you so? And I was like, yeah, I think so. I think that's where I've been for a lot of my life. And then he started to share this message about how to make your faith your own. I said, that's what I need. That's what I need. And it sent me on this journey. And so I searched it out, started talking to this guy, and he walked me back through this thing. Now, does it mean that all the stuff I knew before was wrong? No. In fact, I got to say, man, I'm really thankful for all these things that I learned when I was a kid. But I had to make it my own, right? And then I said, yeah, I this is what I need. I want to accept Christ kind of on, you know, saying that I want to make this decision and I want to make this decision for me. And I want Jesus not to just be kind of a nice guy in my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him to call the shots in my life, you know, and made a decision that that's what I wanted to do. And the other part of your testimony is quite simply now. What does it mean now in your life? And you can share this really simply by just saying, hey, here's what my life was like before, here's how I came to Jesus, and here's what my life is like now that I'm following Jesus. And I have to tell you, there was a time in my life when I felt like I was being called into ministry. And I kind of like, you know, dug my heels in for a little bit. God was kind of dragging me. And the reason was because I had all kinds of things I wanted to do in my life, right? I had work things that I wanted to do. I wanted to be an architect, make lots of money, okay, because I was around architects a lot when I was growing up. I was like, I want to do that. I'm going to do this. I want to travel all over the world, and I love to build stuff. And I thought, man, if I came to Jesus and became a pastor, I would have to, like, I'd have to give all that up. You know what's really crazy about God? Is after saying yes to Jesus, I've gotten to travel all over the world and build churches and schools and houses and orphanages and everything all over the world. I mean, it's pretty amazing what God does if you'll take your thoughts, your dreams, and say, here, God, you can have these. And he's going to do much better than I would have ever done with those things. And that's what my life is like now following him, is he's taken this life and he said, hey, all those dreams that you had, Yeah, I'm going to take those things and I'm going to infuse them with his story and his compassion. And I can't think of a better way to do life. And so I encourage you to just take some time to not just know how to write down the gospel, but get your story written down. You know why? If you'll write it down, I guarantee you, if you write it down, you'll have an opportunity to use it. If you don't ever write it down, you're going to miss all kinds of opportunities. And there is no greater evidence for the truth of the gospel than a changed life. When you share how God's changed your life, how God is working in your life, that is going to be more powerful than just about anything else that you can imagine. Okay? And so we need to be prepared. And then after we get that down, after we can say it clearly, then we do need to live it. In verse 5 of Colossians 4, it says, live wisely, and this is in the New Living Translation. I like this. It says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Okay? Now, if you're looking at this passage, you're thinking, like, as I'm looking through verses sometimes, I'm like, what verse is like, what word in there is really important? I thought, you know what? For me, this word among is huge, right? Just this idea, live wisely among those who are not believers. One of the things that makes it difficult sometimes for me and to share my faith is this. I don't get a lot of time with unbelievers. This passage is telling me, guess what? I'm supposed to do my life among them. I'm not supposed to avoid them. We as Christians, oftentimes, we get really good at building up walls between us and the unbelievers. We get really good about, you know, saying, hey, I don't want this for me or for my family and everything. And we build a nice, safe fortress for us and our families away from all of the unbelieving world. And Jesus is saying, guess what? No. Just live wisely among them. Live wisely among the people who are not believers. Why? Because we're supposed to help them find Jesus. And then he goes on in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. In other words, watch what you say, so that you will have the right response for everyone. And the way I'd like to kind of look at this morning is just these two terms, invest and invite, okay? And the first thing is this, invest in relationships with the people around you. I mean, take the time. If you're gonna actually know how to respond well to people, you're going to have to get to know them. And I encourage you, invest your life in people. Get to know the people around you. Get to know about their family. Get to know about their life. Get to know the things that are going well or the things that aren't going so well in their family. Get to know them and invest in their lives. Build relationships with people. And as a natural part of that relationship with other people, then invite them. Invite them into a relationship with God. For some people, that starts by inviting them to something, you know, maybe you invite them to church, okay? Many of you found Jesus because somebody invited you to church or some activity. Maybe you got invited to camp one day. Maybe you got invited to, you know, Christmas service. Maybe you got invited. Somewhere along the ride, someone invited you. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you've trusted him to be Lord of your life, then you're going to spend eternity in heaven with him because someone invested and invited you. The question will be, who is it that you're investing in and inviting? Who's going to be in heaven because you took the time to invest and invite? And it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. We simply need to invest in others and invite. Now, all of you should have one of these cards, right? This is really simple. One of these things, right? You've got these? Just hold them up. This is like audience participation. All right. Let's see those, right? We do this all the time, okay? We make these things and we tell people constantly, like, you take one of these and this is not for you, all right? You don't go home and stick this on the refrigerator with a magnet on there, okay? And if you did already, then go take it down, all right? The whole idea is that the reason that we give you these things is because it's a handy tool, because you know why? We know that it's not always easy. We know it's not just easy to just like invite people sometimes. But when we've got something like, you know, a Christmas tree lighting thing, we're like, hey, this is a super simple way. I mean, that you can say, hey, we're doing this thing. It's all about, you know, it's about Christmas. We're going to have hot chocolate and hot apple cider and cookies and all kinds of stuff because you guys are all going to bring cookies, right, on Saturday night. Yeah. And last year, this was huge. Last year, the greatest thing, for me, the biggest win last year was this. We took a bunch of these to the neighborhood, and the first people that showed up here were four families that just live up the street, and they came down and they're going, hey, is this where this thing's at? And I'm like, yeah, this is what they're going, good, because our neighbor invited us. I'm like, right on. You know, I mean, it's that this thing is here to be a helpful tool for you to invite somebody else. Just say, hey, we're having this thing at church. Come sing some Christmas songs. We're going to light a Christmas tree and have some hot chocolate. It's going to be great. And some of you are thinking like, really? Really, is that all I got to do? Is that really going to do the job? This week, you know, we've been talking about these fishing lessons. The first is this, write your faith story this week. Okay, it's on the paper there. If you didn't get one on the way out. And just write your own testimony out. And then invite somebody. And for those of you who don't think that just a simple invitation works, the two crazy guys on the video, they're called the Skit Guys. They're Christian guys. They go to all kinds of conferences and stuff. But what was interesting is I got to listen to them share their testimonies. And I want to share that with you real quick. So check out the video.
I was a freshman in college the first time I invited someone to church.
My best buddy called me. I was working at a grocery store. I was in the back cutting carrots, and my buddy called me.
And I just said, hey, do you want to go to church with me tonight? And I remember his words. He said,
sure, I got nothing better to do. And I went to church with him. And, you know, I went there because they were serving pizza that night. I don't remember what was said. I don't remember what was sung.
During the services, I remember praying for him and just asking God to please reach out and touch his heart or do something because I knew he needed Jesus. And then God answered my prayers.
That night changed my life, September 17th, 1987. It changed my life because I realized I needed a Savior.
If you ever wondered what just a simple invitation and people went just because they were serving pizza or maybe hot chocolate might do for somebody's eternity, there's the story. And that might just happen for the people around you as well. And if we're going to be people who claim the good news and claim that it works, then guess what, folks? It's time to work it. And it's time to say it. Use our words, proclaim it, and invite people. Because we have a Savior who loved us enough to come and to give his life for us. And we celebrate that every week here. And this morning, if you're here, and as we were sharing that message of the gospel, and you're sitting here this morning going, you know, I've kind of known that stuff, but I've never taken a step to actually say, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life, then maybe today is the day. Maybe there's been somebody who's been praying for you. Maybe there's somebody who's invited you. Maybe you showed up at somebody's house this week and they said, hey, you know, we're going to church this Sunday after we have leftover turkey, you know. So come on, and maybe that's you. And this morning, if that's you this morning, then I'm going to be sitting right down here. I'd love to talk to you about that. But all I know is this, is that folks, we need to be people who are proclaimers of the truth. Because there's a world out there that's desperate to hear it. And as we celebrate communion this morning, we're reflecting on this great reality that out of his incredible compassion, we have a Savior who gave his life for us and gave his life for your neighbors and gave his life for those family members that don't know Jesus yet and gave his life for the people that you work with that don't know him yet. And the question for us is, will we invest, will we invite, will we introduce them to Jesus, and will we use our words? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. We're thankful, Father, for The fact that you gave your life so that we could find peace, so that we could have salvation, so we could spend eternity with you. And we pray, Father, that Father, you would embolden us to share our faith with others, that Father, you would help us to see and take advantage of opportunities, that Father, you would teach us more and more how to share the great message of hope, the gospel, the message that Jesus sets us free. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.